Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I hope everybody is completely finished their meals because it's all leftover season right now. Welcome to the Roundtable Sports City. We got a lot of stuff to jump into. I ain't going to take too long with this intro, man, because I'm going to try and feed y'all the best that I can for the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. I done took off the blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better? Yeah, right, no matter what, we airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you doing? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard of us, the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of, they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting.
Okay, the caller number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 6 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world. But you're here with this, Chef. And like I said, there's a lot of stuff for me to jump into, so I'm going to get right to it. I'm going to let my co-hosts do their thing, and we're going to get right at this. Calling in by way of the state of Virginia, right now in the Keystone State of Pennsylvania, Tommy B., welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
Bittersweet, because Kings won, but also on this day in 2007, the University of Miami – and the Washington Redskins lost a very, very good guy, and it's Sean Taylor. Man, rest in peace, my brother. You will never be forgotten.
That is the truth, man. A horrific day, man. But I don't know what to say about it. I mean, at least they closed the case somewhat. At least there's some, you know, closure to that situation. But 8 years to the day of today, sad situation with. They called them the meast, half monster, half beast. So rest in peace, Sean. And I'm related to the Taylor family. I know probably somewhere within the branches we might cross family lines, but rest in peace to Sean. And lastly, my big brother, the co-host of the roundtable, Mr. Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus, welcome to the show. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm fine.
Okay, yeah, I know. This is great stuff. Okay, so Sports City, let's have at it. Let's have at it. Now, I'm going to start right where America will want me to start at, right? Because they are, quote-unquote, the American team or America's team, however they put that phrase out there, a.k.a. the Dallas Cowboys. Now, have an interesting situation of them bringing Tony Romo back this past Sunday. He just got back this past Sunday up against the Miami Dolphins. And it's interesting that they bring him back in such a short week time. And I know they wanted to save face to try and get back into the get back into the playoff window, if they will, or be in the grand scheme of things, to at least try and compete for the NFC. I want to know how you guys felt about this situation. One, with them losing so severely at home up against an undefeated Carolina Panthers team. And two, do you think they pushed this envelope a little too quickly around Tony Romo, which they have been told that the doctors and everybody approved him to go? But do you think that this is a $100 million investment? I hate to jump the gun in saying this. He's injury prone. Since he's been in the league, Romo has been an injury prone quarterback. Shouldn't they have used more precaution by bringing Tony Romo back? I'll go to you first, Chandler. Your thoughts on the situation with the Cowboys. If you'd like to talk about the game as well, you can too.
Well, the game itself was just – it was a clinic on defense is what it was. I mean, the offense didn't have to do anything. You know, so that's really all to say about that. The Carolina Panthers are for real, and the fact that anybody thought the Cowboys could beat them, I would really like to smoke some of what they were smoking, okay? you know, because, I mean, that was some really good. The fact of the matter is, did he come back early? Yes. The fact of the matter is, was Jerry Jones not going to bring him back for this game? No. See, we all sit here and say what they should have done. The fact of the matter is Jerry Jones was going to bring him back because, let's be honest, if Matt Castle had started that game, how many people would have watched it after the first quarter? None. Only Cowboy fans and Panthers fans, that's pretty much it. Everybody else would have tuned out. They needed those ratings. So it doesn't surprise me that they played him. I mean, this is a league that constantly proves they don't give a damn about players. And that's all they're giving them all this money and this and this and that. These guys can afford to give these guys the money. Okay? All you got to do is look at Case Keenum, you know, and they let this man play through a concussion when everybody knew he had a concussion. They don't give a damn about these players. So should they have brought him back? No. Were they going to? Absolutely. And not for nothing, if Jerry Jones could put him on the field right now, he still would. Okay? He put him on the field right now. If the doctors would let him, he'd put him on the field right now. But yeah, the Cowboys season, and the fact of the matter, the Cowboys season isn't over simply because the NFC East is so damn terrible. The NFC East is so terrible that if the Redskins win, the Eagles will only be a game up. The Cowboys will still only be two games out of first place in the division. Mm-hmm. So is this season over? Realistically, yes. Mathematically, no, it's really not because the NFC East is just that bad.
Okay, and also, Chandler, I want you to know that through NFL TV and NFL.com, you were close. You were close. I do give you credit. But about time, Timeless gets one on his big brother, Chandler. They rank the AFC South as the worst division in the NFL. But they said the NFC East is number two right now. Just because of what you just stated, the Giants lead the division. They're 5-5. If the Redskins win this game, they'll be tied at 5-6, and they, you know, it's a split situation because the Redskins, you know, lost one and won one. It depends if they win. I'm not going to just jump the gun already, but very interesting situation. Tommy, your thoughts on the middle of the day game, if you will, with the Cowboys losing at home, big to Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, and do you think they actually, you know, rush Romo back a little too soon now that he re-broke or fractured the clavicle again?
Yeah.
I mean, we all sit here in Sports Center and said, why bring him back? It's stupid. But like Chandler said, it's all about that money.
And that's ridiculous how they've talked about player safety and player safety and player safety. No, it's not. It's about that money, 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 money. But about the game, Cam and boys are for real. Definitely on defense. I mean, Jesus. Watch out. I can't, like I said, I want to see what they do in the playoffs.
I'm going to say it like this, since you and Chandler went that way about the defense. Tony Romo, I don't know what was going on, and I know you're not playing anymore this season, but I have to say this. I don't know what was going on the back-to-back interceptions to Luke Kuechly, the same guy. Now, one, I'm going to give Luke his credit, even though Chandler don't like to give you credit, Luke. You know it's me. I got your back, Luke. I got your back. But Luke must have did his homework, one, not only himself, but reading that throughout that defense, because the first pick six that he threw, they jumped the route. And this is me in the middle of Sports City. Every time that this situation happens, I go, why is Jason Witten always open? He runs a 5 yard in, 5 yard out. Wherever they are, he's going to make that break to get that separation. He's in position to make a catch. Jason Witten ran that 7 yard in and tried to go across the field. That safety came across and made that play and went to the house on him. Look, a lot of defenses need to know this. Now, I don't know what type of turnaround they'll have. And this is something that we talked about in the green room on that coaching situation. You know me, it's everybody in Sports City know how much I was screaming for Scott Linehan to leave Detroit. And he had success with Dallas last year, but a lot of people are saying, Linehan's not calling a great game. He needs to call different plays. That was me when he was in Detroit. I was screaming the same stuff in Detroit. So I understand your frustrations. But he had a system going last year. He had a running back that could do work behind that offensive line. Now, here we go. Buckle up, people, because it's my turn to talk about the situation. One, what is going on with that Dallas front line? I need to know. Now, before the season started, y'all had Collins, y'all got Tyron Smith, y'all got a whole bunch of guys up front that y'all was ranking yourself already the best offensive line in the game. Romo got hurt twice behind his offensive line, people. I hope y'all know that. I hope y'all know. Same injury. Y'all letting them get beat up. Like that's a $100 million investment. You guys have to know the importance of keeping this guy upright. And it's always a situation where Romo's scrambling for his life, trying to make plays happen downfield. Secondly, what's going on with, like, Dez Bryant? I mean, you hurried up and brought Dez back. Two catches, 26 yards. And it was a funny joke that somebody put out there. They said Dez had the same productivity as Luke Kuechly from Tony Romo, and he scored a touchdown. Luke Kuechly had two catches, which were two interceptions, 61 yards and a touchdown, right? They were trying to be funny, and Dez had two catches with 26 yards, nothing. You mean to tell me that this guy's playing a 60-minute game and he's not productive with his offense? I don't know how he gets lost, because I know if he was in any other offense, Dez would be productive, at least seeing the ball five or seven times. I'm at least saying that. And, of course, you know, you got the cornerback Norman calling Dez out. He's calling Dez out severely. So whenever they meet up again, believe me, it might be a fight, because you know Dez, he wears his emotions on his sleeve. And thirdly, what the heck is going on with the running game? Like McFadden was working early. Then all of a sudden, it just fell asleep. Like, the offense, they couldn't run the ball at all. They couldn't do nothing. I need to know what's going on. Whether Garrett is need to take over the play calling. They were comfortable with Linehan. There's a lot of questions there. Now, this is what we were talking about in the green room before we got started, about the safety of Garrett's job. And right now, for the most part, we had one person that was, you know, said that he's safe. Me, on the other hand, I don't know. I don't know how long they keep letting Garrett, you know, run the show, and things aren't really turning around. So, I mean, if you guys have anything else to say towards the situation, we can, or we can move forward.
Okay, I got one thing. One thing, and then Chandler can go. What do you all think about Dez Bryant on the first interception, standing there not getting his ass back to make the tackle? Because that play, if he gets his ass back, they may not score. Because he cuts right back there, but no. Dez is 50 yards too worried about running his mouth to the corner.
I clearly think Dez, he lets a lot of people get in his head. That he could easily be frustrated, and of course he could have made the play, but I don't know. The emotions of the game, he gets tied up in those situations. Chandler, if you want to answer that, you can, or also there was something that you wanted to allude to as well.
Well, you guys realize he's still playing on a broken foot, right? People do realize that, right? That he's still, his foot isn't fully healed.
So why is he playing?
That's the first thing. Because he's an idiot and he's going out there and sacrificing his body for his team like every other football player does. Like every other football player does, he's sacrificing his body for the team. So 10 years from now, when he's walking around and barely able to stand, he's going to wish he hadn't. I mean, why is he playing?
Right.
How many football players are playing when they shouldn't play, Ty? All of them do it. But the fact of the matter is, they have no running game. So it's easier to take Dez Bryant out of the game when you can just stack the box. And then you put a safety over the top of Dez. Tony Romo's not going to go to him because he looks double covered all the time. You got Cole Beasley dropping balls. You got Terrence Williams dropping balls. You got Romo misreading where the linebacker is on that route to Witten twice.
Why?
And letting somebody jump the route. You said, what happened to the offensive line? Garrett McFadden ain't good after the fourth carry. After the fourth carry, you watch. He started stepping back there and never hits the hole. So why is Romo under pressure all the time? Because they don't have to worry about a passing game. They put eight in the box, and they bring pressure. And no offensive line can hold up to constant pressure when you're always in a passing down. When I know you have to pass and you know you have to pass, then I can just keep bringing people. Eventually, your line is going to break down. Your line will break down. And the line didn't break down in the first half. It broke down where? In the second half. For the most part, for the first quarter and a half, the line was holding up. They weren't really getting the Romo. He just kept throwing interceptions, so they really didn't have time to really have to hold up long because he was turned over instantly. But the fact is, go ahead.
No. I was going to cut you off. Keep going. I apologize. Keep going.
You got no running game. So I can take Dez out. Now you're in an obvious passing down every down. No offensive line can hold up like that. None. I mean, yeah, can they hold up a little better? Sure, but it's kind of like the Eagles defense. If they're constantly on the field, eventually they're going to give up points. If you're constantly getting blitzed and stunts and everything else, eventually you're going to give up sacks because you have no running back. Oh, and by the way, none of their running backs can pick up a blitz to save their life.
None of them.
I can't really blame Linehan, to be honest with you, because if he had a running back he could utilize, as we saw last season, he knows how to use a damn running back. He knows how to use a running back. But if you ask him to drop his quarterback back 30-plus times a game, yeah, you're probably going to lose that game.
Okay. I'm going to make this a little bit critical on you two and see how you feel about this situation in front of the Carolina Panthers. I'm going to do it, Sports City. I apologize if y'all feel some type of way, but I'm in the kitchen. I got to cook dishes. They have 5 games left, in which 4 of the 5 are in their division, which they all beat each other up or knock them out, drag them out situation. And one of them, in the midst of this, they play the Giants. Can they run this table the way that they are playing football right now and go at 16-0? Their next game is in the Superdome against the Saints, followed by at home up against the Falcons, then on the road up against the Giants, then on the road against the Falcons, and they end the season in Tampa Bay. Can they run this schedule and go 16-0, headed to the playoffs? Let me cook these dishes. Chael, I'll start with you first.
I think they lose to Tampa. I think they lose to Tampa and the Giants. Tampa and the Giants, or Tampa or the Giants. If they don't lose to the Giants, then they're going to lose to Tampa. And I'm going to tell you why. Because Ron Rivera don't give a damn about 16-0. Ron Rivera was on 85 Bears. He was actually a large part of the 85 Bears, not like Jeff Fisher, who was, you know, a big player. Ron Rivera was an actual baller, okay? And he knows that 15-1 is just as good if you win the Super Bowl as 16-0. I think that in the Tampa Bay game, and especially if it doesn't really have any playoff implications for Tampa, or even if it does, I think he rests Cam. Because Cam has taken a lot of hits, man. I think he rests Cam. In that last game, it says if we win, we win. If we don't, we don't. I don't really care. I think he rests Cam, and I think he rests Jonathan Stewart. Because we all know that they damn lucky so far that Jonathan Stewart hasn't missed any games. Okay?
Exactly.
Jonathan Stewart is good to miss 4 games. So I think if Jonathan Stewart is still healthy in game 16, I think they put him in bubble wrap. Then they put him in a wooden crate. Then they lock him in the back of a U-Haul. And then they put the U-Haul on Taylor. So I think they lose to Tampa.
Okay, interesting stuff to Jameis. And that game is in Carolina, I hope you know. That's at home. So those fans will be stewing if they were to, I don't know, that's me. I feel they'll be stewing if they are 15-0 week 17 and they just start resting dudes. Because everybody in Carolina, I think everybody in Carolina would come to that game and support them. Tommy, how do you feel about it? They're at New Orleans, home against the Falcons, at New York up against the Giants, at Atlanta and the Georgia Dome up against the Falcons, and finish the season up against Tampa in Bank of America Stadium. Do you think they could close this season out, looking at how bad the Saints are playing, also the Falcons taking a complete U-turn the way that they started the season? The Falcons were hot. Now they're taking a complete U-turn. The Giants, I mean, they're 5-5. I don't even know what they're going to look like around week that's week 15 right there. Falcons again and then Tampa. Your thoughts on if they can do it or not?
I don't think they'll go undefeated. I'm with Chandler. When it comes to the Giants, I think the Giants' defense might be able to shut down that offense. I don't trust Eli against that against Carolina. So I believe that game could come down to who makes the first mistake. Maybe, now, like you just said, a U-turn. Maybe Atlanta, in Atlanta, maybe. But what I can see, definitely that Giants game is the one to watch out for.
Right, because that's a game that, you know, that's what Mikey B came up here and said. When you don't think Eli's going to show up, Eli comes up and plays ball. So that's another interesting game. But I'm worried about that Falcon game in Atlanta. I'm also worried about the Saints at home next week, too, because the Superdome is always magical for them, but they haven't played that type of ball. But Atlanta in Atlanta would be big for the Falcons. But do you know who's from Atlanta? College Park, actually. Do you know who's from there? Cameron Newton. So his family and people will be in that building. So you know he would definitely try to show up in that game. And that's a rivalry game, too, so that's up in the air. But just like I said, the way that the Falcons have turned their season around, and I know Chandler's probably over there smiling. Matty Ice, where have you gone? I don't know where you've gone. You still got Julio Jones, who's probably the best receiver in the game right now. As of this season, Julio's that guy. Like I don't know where you're going. So I think the Falcons – the Falcons and the Giants and the Saints game is what I'm worried about, at least that. Tampa Bay, I mean, they have been putting it together, turning their season around. Jameis is starting to they're starting to mesh. That offense that Jameis is starting to put it together, and I was worried about this with his targets on the outside, with him having Vincent Jackson and Evans as well, that they'd be able to put something together interesting, and they're starting to do it, but I don't know. I don't know. I at least say the Falcons and Giants could threaten them. Saints, it depends on what Saints team shows up, especially with them already looking at Peyton on the outside looking in, too. It'd be interesting in itself. Let me get away from this situation around them because I want to get a lot of these dishes out, and I don't know if I'll be able to get to a lot of them now. I'm going to go to the nightcapping game that happened at Lambeau. And by the way, I'm not even going to overlook the situation, even though he's always been a rival of mine and always had to deal with him, and knowing how him and Barry used to go back and forth every time he had to play the Packers. Shout out to Brett Favre. They retired the number 4 jersey. And, boy, are those Green Bay people fickle. I just call them fickle because just a few years ago they were booing him like crazy when he had that Minnesota purple on. But knowing how everybody came there to support him, Bart Starr was there as well. Great stuff. What's going on with the Packers? What's going on? In Sports City, by the way, I would be talking in a different light to the Packers, but I can't. People around Sports City know what's going on. But Aaron Rodgers comes up short up against Jay Cutler and the Chicago Bears. In which, people, Jay Cutler left the door open several times, and the Packers had the ball late to win the game, and they still ended up losing this game. Tommy, your thoughts on the nightcapper game, Green Bay falling short, and not even scoring 20 points at home up against a very questionable Chicago Bears defense.
Green Bay's defense is bad. And their offensive line don't look that good either. I mean, you said or said something about Favre. Rodgers didn't look like – he looked like he was running for his life at times. They showed up in Chicago. Lacy, sometimes I wonder about that man. I mean, there's times Lacy looked good, then there's times Lacy just looked like he didn't even want to carry the ball and didn't even want the ball. So, I mean, they got to figure out what's going on. Defensively, they're bad. Because Cutler, most of the game, of course, late in the fourth, I went to bed. What I saw, Cutler was throwing the ball good. And we had time, and oh, yeah, he missed some receivers here and there. But overall, congratulations, Chicago. And I got another thing to add. Why is it when Brett Favre gets his number retired, they show that on TV? Now, this ain't the only player that gets his jersey retired and everything, but they don't show it on TV. Ray had his retired in Baltimore, didn't see it. Thank God I went to the game. Ed Reed had his retired, didn't see it on TV. Been other players, too, that they don't show on TV. And I think it's BS.
I think probably regionally for Baltimore, they probably would do that, but knowing that they have a big following across the country, being the Green Bay Packers, and knowing that there's a lot of Favre fans, not to take anything away from Ray or Ed, you know me, I love those two, but and plus knowing that Bart Starr was in the building to congratulate him too, that was some epic stuff to see that happen. But you speaking on Lazy as well, Lazy almost called him a touchdown. He almost did the DeSean Jackson, and to me, I don't think he crossed the goal line. I think he let that ball go. I think he let that ball go before he got the goal line, but they wanted to save it because they know that it was Brett Favre night. Thought that the Packers would come up big for Favre, gave him the touchdown, but he did not cross. He did not break the plane. He did not. But
there are some questions
around the situation. Chicago's defense isn't, you know, that lights-out Chicago Bears defense when Briggs and Urlacher were there. They are still trying to figure it out defensively, and they did just enough to get it done and stop Rodgers while he had the ball last. Rodgers had the ball last at the doorstep of the end zone, and they came up short. Chandler, your thoughts on the situation. What's going on in Green Bay? Chicago coming up big on the road. This is Jay Cutler's second time beating Rodgers ever. What's going on,
Chandler? John Fox is what's going on. And the Bears defense has gotten better every game. And the past five games, if you look at the numbers they're putting up, I don't think they've given up more than 23 points in any game in the past five games. I could be wrong, but I think I'm right. John Fox can coach. Okay, when you start mentioning this man, we start talking about the great coaches in this game. John Fox can coach, okay, because he is the only coach who has gotten Jay Cutler to not throw the pick. We all know what I'm talking about. Jay Cutler always throws the pick. He's not doing that with John Fox. He's taking the easy play. He's taking the safe play. He's not saying, I can fit it in there between those 17 defenders. He's saying, it's 17 guys on that receiver. Maybe I should dump it off to the running back. You know, Matt Forte, as I said when John Fox came there, you will be somewhere else next season because you are not a John Fox player. You stay on the sidelines too much. Okay? I'm going to give a lot of credit to the Bears on this, and specifically the coaching. Maybe that dude Adam Gase and him talking crap about Jay Cutler and saying it publicly, maybe that's what was needed. I don't know. But Jay Cutler, it looks like the light has finally gone on. And the thing is, he's not putting up 300-yard games. You know, he's putting up 200, 220, but the Bears are winning. And maybe he's finally realized that in order for his team to win, he doesn't need to throw for 300 yards. You know what I'm saying? I love what the Bears are doing. I love what John Fox is doing. That team is getting progressively better. And next year, if they continue on this trend, the NFC North, the NFC Central, I should say. I'm calling it the damn Central. It's the NFC Central. I'm old. It's the NFC Central. The black and blue division is going to be something else. As far as the Packers go, their offensive line is terrible. They can't pass block to save their lives. The defense has been garbage all year. Guys have finally realized that none of their receivers can get separation. Why it took them so long for the season to realize that, I have no idea. But
no,
one of them can.
One of their receivers can get separation. Randall Cobb can.
Randall Cobb doesn't, but he's not getting separation. He's allowing himself to be bullied on his routes. Watch Randall Cobb run a route. He never gets separation. It's not that he might have the ability to, but he don't have the heart to, apparently, because he's never open. The fact that James Jones is being targeted more than Randall Cobb shows you where the confidence is with Aaron Rodgers. He'd rather throw to a guy that we know can't get separation, but somehow is always in a position to at least make a play on the ball. And that's what James Jones should have caught that ball. Listen, that was a great defensive play by the cornerback on that last throw. And not for nothing, he still had his fingertips on the ball. He still almost got that ball. So, you know, Eddie Lacy is doing – what's happening to him is what happens to every Alabama running back, man. He had one good season, two good seasons, and now he's done. I think Eddie Lacy is done, personally. I think he's basically – he needs to be the second back in the two-back system. He's not that guy that he was. And I don't know what it is – I don't know what Nick Saban is doing to these kids at Alabama, but if you're a running back coming out of high school, don't go to Alabama because you will not have a long NFL career. You will not. Eddie, you're right. Eddie Lacy looks fat. He looks slow. And he looks like he really doesn't want to get hit anymore. That's what it looks like. I mean, he looks like he doesn't want to get hit anymore. So, yeah, Tommy's right. Yeah, he looks like he don't even want to be out there sometimes. He really does. And I think Green Bay's in trouble. Because even if they make the playoffs, and I think they will make the playoffs, they want it done. They're not winning their first game. They're done in the first game. Because, you know, and let's – can we just finally give some credit to the dude, Jordy Nelson? Can we finally just say he's just a great wide receiver and not calculate all of the terms of trying to say, well, he's so smart and this and that. The boy is blazing fast. He's a damn great wide receiver, and he is the reason that offense looks bad right now because without him, those other receivers are just pedestrians.
You know, I not to interrupt, Ty, I like to have seen what this Bears offense will look like with their first-round draft pick, Kevin White, with that other weapon.
Right. I think they would be legit with another big receiver on the outside with speed, too. And knowing, just like you said, he's forcing a lot of those passes to Alshon Jeffrey, and Alshon has actually been coming up big. But I give Cutler credit for coming up big in a game that he's not used to winning up against Rodgers. Rodgers has had his number severely in his matchup. Before this win last night, Cutler has only beaten Rodgers one time. One time. They have had his number all throughout the stint of him being in Chicago. So I give Cutler credit for shaking that off and doing what he needed to do to, you know, maintain the 17-point victory, you know, putting up 17 points up against Green Bay. But I'm going to say this. And I may be jumping the gun, and people may be like, well, you can't see the future, so on and so forth. But this is one thing I am going to say about their defense, Green Bay. I'm going to say this about you, and I may be jumping the gun. But the fact is, I don't care how good he is right now. I don't care how huge and big and strong this dude is, buffest dude in the league. Clay Matthews will be burnt out in 3 to 4 years. Completely burnt out because of you guys. Because of you guys, there is no way that you can have this guy all over the field trying to make all of these plays to save your defense. Defensive end, linebacker, chasing down receiver, chasing down running back. He's great. Don't get me wrong. This dude is a physical specimen that you have to, you know, account for. But he can't be all over the field like this. Something is going to end up happening. And they, by the way, offenses are looking at that, watching where they put him, making sure they can keep him away from the play so he has to come chasing all the way across the field, then getting lined up, chasing all the way across the field. He'll be tired. He'll be tired. Oh, and by the way, he's 29 years old too, so he's knocking on that 30-year-old wall. He is knocking on that 30-year-old wall. So I say four. I give you 4 years tops that Clay Matthews will be burnt out. You will end up burning this guy out. He's a physical specimen, like I said, but he can't do this every year. For 16 games, he can. He can. Secondly,
yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Secondly, this offense, like Chandler was alluding to, these guys getting separation. Now, James Jones has made a couple of good plays, but he always has somebody on him. I fear Randall Cobb because in the middle of the field, he's dangerous. There's not a lot of nickel corners or you know, guys in the slot that could deal with him because he's quick. You know, and he has 4.3 speed too as well. So you got to deal with him, but he hasn't been making those plays. So I really just, you know, have to basket this in one situation Aaron Rodgers, what's going on? You're league MVP. This is a situation at home while everybody was there. Bart Starr, Brett Favre, everybody was there to see this go down. In a game that you're so used to winning it, you probably didn't think that the Bears would come in there and beat you on your home turf. This is happening. Back-to-back games on Lambeau Field that you guys have lost. You guys have lost, and he only put up 13 points. Crazy that I'm saying this about Aaron Rodgers, and I'm actually somewhat trying to defend him because I know what type of quarterback he is. This is crazy. Now, Chandler's already giving you guys the leg up to actually make the playoffs, but he thinks that you guys are one and done. Like 7-4, you lost your last two games at home. Rodgers throwing picks at home. I don't know. They still have the Lions next Thursday. The Cowboys, Raiders, Cardinals, and the Vikings to end the season. This is tough. They only have two home games at the end of this schedule also. So this is something that they need to consider moving forward. Chandler, I know there was something that you wanted to say before we get away from it.
Yeah. Remember that somebody tried to shout me down when the Packers signed Julius Peppers, and I said that was a waste of a signing. Remember that? When's the last time Julius Peppers did anything to help that defense? Anything. He hasn't since they signed him. A waste of signing. And shouldn't there be somebody here defending the Packers? There's this guy that used to come on the show all the time. I can't quite remember his name. He was this, like, back-to-back MVP thing. What ever happened to that guy?
I'm not saying that thing at all. I'm just chilling. Okay, so anything else? Before we get away from it, I'm not saying anything. Okay, great. The silence helps me. The calling number is 907-889-9592. Now, you guys know I was happy because, you know, the movie Creed came out yesterday. You know, Rocky Balboa and Apollo Creed, you know, they was fighting out of a certain city in the United States of America. You know, the Keystone State, known for, you know, cheesesteaks, pretzels, cream cheese, you know, Benjamin Franklin, electricity, you know, all of that stuff. I mean, a historic city, you know what I mean? Y'all don't know the city? What, y'all guessing? Y'all know what's going on?
Yeah, city of Philadelphia.
The city of brotherly love, people, the city of brotherly love. Now, I'm not even going to talk too much about the line because y'all know I don't like talking about my boy. Karma lives right next door to me for some odd reason. I don't know how she got the move in, but she loves to slap me in my face every time I get out of line. Like, if I walk out my door, I get slapped like 30 times. Like, wow, 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 wow. So I'm not even going to go to the fact that Jim Bob Cooter, yeah, I know people like to pick on his name, but I don't care how his name may sound. As soon as you got that doggone playbook, you lit this offense on fire. Finally, I seen a 40, and I don't even want to look at the 40-point effort, but they finally put 40 points on the dog on board. That's what that offense can do. That's what that offense can do. But I don't want to give it too much credence because I want to talk about the city of Philadelphia. I don't want to talk too much about the Lions because Karma's she's next door. I'm not messing with her. So let me talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, first and foremost, the elephant in the room situation is Chip Kelly. And everybody has been singing, well, if this doesn't go down to Philadelphia, Chip's gone. If this doesn't go down to Philadelphia, Chip's going back to college. Well, if Chip don't have a good stint in the NFL, he's going to be a college coach, and he'll go right back to his ways that he had in Oregon. Well, guess what, people? He lost that game up against Detroit big, and everybody thinks that he may be out of Philadelphia. But guess who comes to his aid to try to speak for him today? The defensive coordinator said that he is sure that Chip Kelly will be back in Philadelphia next season. Now, I don't know how or where this will end up going down, or if the Eagles could turn this around as of getting Bradford back next Sunday. Not this Sunday coming up, but next Sunday, Bradford should be back. Sanchez not looking good behind that offense. They didn't end up putting up the second touchdown till late in the fourth quarter. The offense looking very stagnant. Sproles or DeMarco couldn't get started running the ball. And I do want to give credit to Detroit, but I'm not saying nothing about it. I just want to know the situation around Philadelphia. Is Chip Kelly safe? Your thoughts on this offense and defense altogether. I mean, a full situation for the Philadelphia Eagles. moving forward. Chandler, I'll come to you first.
Well, first of all, I'm going to talk about the Lions first. old Jim Bob and what's that thing? This is Earl, my other brother Earl. Old Jim Bob is doing something that they should have been doing all season, which is being aggressive with the play calling, which fits what Matthew Stafford is used to. It's aggressive, it's up-tempo, it's a fast pace. You don't let him drop back there and have time to think, have to sit there and pat the ball and think. You basically let him rely on his athleticism. And the less thinking Matthew Stafford has to do, but it's not to say he's not a smart guy. He's a very smart guy. You don't get into certain universities unless you're a smart guy. But when it comes to football, for Matthew Stafford, less is more. The less he has to sit there and analyze and everything else, the better he plays. That's just how he works. Theo Riddick, where was this? Where was the use of Theo Riddick all season? Seriously.
Oh, my God.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you know, now we see why all those guys got fired. Now we see. Now we see why this offense fell off a cliff. Okay? And I've been saying all year, Matthew Stafford didn't go from a quarterback who threw for 5,000 yards to some bum overnight. It had to be something with the system. Apparently it was. The defense is playing well. The play calling is going well. They actually look like they're enjoying playing again. And when guys look like they're enjoying playing, it's not going to say they're going to win all the games, but they will play better. The team will look better. When they win or lose, you now can go root for that team and say, okay, at least I know my team going to show up today. And if you lose, you know, we did all that. You know.
You're missing somebody.
No, I'm not, because he still, to me, is still pulling a huge disappearing act, even though he got 3 touchdowns yesterday. Golden Tate, to me, is still the number one receiver on that team. I'm sorry.
Really?
Calvin Johnson gets bullied by guys half his size. I'm not trying to hear it. I'm really not. The Philly defense has probably been on the field 3 times as much as their offense. They're exhausted. This is what happened to them last season around this same time. They just started giving up points, because they're going to play. The Philadelphia Eagles defense, if you count the number of plays, will play almost 2 extra games compared to what the offense is playing based on the number of plays that they're on the field for. But they're playing 18 games. Their offense is playing 16 games. Those guys are tired.
Mm-hmm.
They're tired, and they're worn out. And, no, they're not trying as hard because they're tired. They're tired of the offense being on the field for 10 seconds. They like to see the offense put together a 7-minute drive. Hey, Chip Kelly, time of possession does matter. If you don't believe me, go ask the New York Giants that played against Jim Kelly's offense. How do you think they beat the Buffalo Bills? They didn't let them have the ball. They can't score if they don't have the ball. It's funny how that works. Chip Kelly, if he doesn't quit, should be fired, because he's put together a team that's terrible. The defense is awful. Their wide receivers, Jordan Matthews, seriously, man, if you are that afraid to get hit, maybe you shouldn't be a wide receiver. Because at this point, he's dropping balls because he's scared to stick his hands out. And, yes, I know you got quarterbacks who are throwing you into danger and you're tired of getting lit up, but guess what? That's your job, okay? That's your job. Your job is to go across the middle and take the big hit. If you're not willing to do it, maybe you should, you know, become just a kick return or something. Because that kid is dropping a lot of balls simply because he won't try to fight for the ball. He won't try to fight for the ball. Oh, and Mark Sanchez, yeah, for all those people who told me, oh, the Jets should have kept Sanchez, Jets did him wrong. And I said, Mark Sanchez is a bum. How do you like me now? Because Mark Sanchez he's got Philadelphia Eagles fans pining for the days of Matt Barkley.
Right. And that's worse. And that's where it gets worse. Oh, my goodness. But the one player that I said you were missing, Chandler Knight, you know I was going to say Calvin, but I'm not going to say Calvin. I'm not, because I am slowly, people, I put this post up today. I am slowly, and not to say slowly, I'm converting to being a Ziggy Ansah fan. If you guys don't know who Ezekiel Ansah is, This guy is leading the NFL in sacks. He is tied with J.J. Watt. How about that? Now, here's the one thing that I thought about Ziggy that I wasn't giving him credit for, but people across the country were saying that he was lucky to get a lot of his sacks last season because of Sue. I thought that there would be a drop-off without Sue because Sue was getting a lot of those double teams up front. Ziggy is still getting to the quarterback without Sue. Without Sue. And even Chip Kelly said this after the game. It's scary how good that he can be. So they think that he can be better? My gosh. I am slowly turning into an Ezekiel Ansah fan. But I'm going to keep that on the hush. I'm a big Stephen Tulloch fan, but Ziggy, I'm coming. I'm going to get the jersey. Watch that. I'm getting the Ansah jersey because you're a monster. Tommy, your thoughts on the situation in Philadelphia? Chip Kelly, I don't want to put too much on Mark Sanchez, which a lot of people are, because Sanchez won't be the starter when, you know, the quarterback situation gets right when Bradford gets back. They had, listen to this, people, they had three plays at the end of the second half, like their last three possessions, that totaled like a minute and 20 seconds. That's what Chandler made me think about time of possession. They had three possessions that lasted like 30 seconds. Like they were on the field for 30. When he said 10 seconds, I didn't even laugh because that's a real number. Like three plays. Like they were three and out, three and out, three and out. All of which were 30 seconds long. My gosh. Okay, Tommy, your thoughts on the situation with Philadelphia. If you want to talk about the Lions, you can. I only got Ziggy out. I didn't want to talk too much about my boys. But if you want to talk about the game, both sides of the ball for the Eagles, if you like to, have at it.
Ty, tell Sports City who texted you and told you this game was over and it was going to be a blowout.
I forgot. I was caught up in the game. But
yeah.
I don't remember too much.
This was the biggest mismatch I've ever seen. I knew this game wasn't even going to be close. And I really knew it when Golden Tate catches the ball at the 2-yard line, spins, and then just walks into the end zone. He doesn't jog. He doesn't skip in. He literally walks in the end zone. That right there shows you exactly what Chandler said. Defense is tired. They don't want to be out there. They've given up on Chip. So, Chip, pack your bags. Everybody knows, well, except Chandler. He's got you on South Beach. I don't. Pack your bags. Head back out to the Pac-12 where you're going to USC. Watch. He's going back to college. He probably already knows that's where he's going. I could be wrong. But I look for him to go out to USC. Now, Philadelphia is horrible. With Sanchez as a quarterback or not. That's just unbelievable. Now, Detroit. The only thing I've seen wrong with Detroit at times was their running game. They just seemed like they were moving the ball a lot better throwing the football. They just wasn't getting those big plays or wasn't really getting – they were losing too many yardage at times on the run.
Well, they had over 100 yards rushing, so – Abdullah did well. Riddick was well out of the backfield also, and Jordan had an interesting day as well, both receiving and running the ball. So they did it by committee. It wasn't one running back terrorizing the Eagles in the run.
It's awful in Philadelphia. Awful.
But Chip Kelly comes back. Tommy, do you think Chip Kelly comes back?
No. I've already said, Ty, he's going to USC. I really think he's going out to USC. He'll be in college. Let me not say he's going to USC. He'll be at somewhere in college.
Okay.
Somewhere in college.
Okay, so you think he'd be at USC? I wouldn't be mad if he went to South Beach as long as somebody enforced the situation on the defensive side of the ball. I would love to see Kai with an offensive-minded coach, like, and better than Coley. And even though they did do well in winning the game today, if Chip Kelly stirred that offense up some more and just had somebody deal with the defense, not worry about it, hey, I'm all for it. But I'm dreaming.
Cool.
Either him or Les Miles. One way or the other, him or Les Miles. I'm being picked.
James Coley's got to go. He almost blew that game today.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't want to start talking about that game today. I was going to leave it as it is. Any other vision that you guys may have that I'm missing that I didn't talk about that you guys would like to discuss here at the roundtable?
Well, there's reports that tomorrow's Les Miles' last game. He told, supposedly by what I've heard and read, he told media that tomorrow's his last game.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on the Les Miles situation, and I heard that there was a topic that you wanted to discuss also, but Les Miles said it. Oh, it was Les. Okay, so go ahead.
He told the booster group that he basically, all that came out, said tomorrow was his last game. And you know, in those things, they don't allow media, but you know, everybody ran out of the booster meeting and ran back and told all the media. So, I think he's done. And, you know, it occurred to me, actually, like halfway through the show, a name popped in my head for the next LSU coach, Sean Payton.
And I said Payton.
Sean Payton is not going to be with the Saints next year. He's not. But I think listen. If they keep saying, okay, who are you going to bring in that's ready-made, that the fans aren't going to be, like, comparing him to Les Miles and saying, can you do better than Les? Who's the one guy in that town that could take over that team at LSU who would not get compared to Les? Sean Payton.
You're right.
I think Sean Payton's going to be the next LSU coach. I really do. Because I think the Saints are ready to part ways with Drew Brees anyway. I don't think Sean Payton is up for a rebuild there. But his family loves the city. He loves the city. It's actually a perfect fit, if you think about it.
I wonder how far Baton Rouge is from New Orleans, but still, that sounds just right. It does sound just right. The one thing I am worried about, if they do send Drew Brees somewhere else, the Saints will be back to the ain't. I really think so. I think that they have to let Drew Brees retire as the quarterback. If not, I mean, that'll not only be a rebuild, but it'll be a sad situation in New Orleans. And Drew did all he can by bringing them a Super Bowl. I mean, their only Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if it's a safe situation to watch Drew leave. But then again, it is the business of the NFL and watching quarterbacks age just enough before they pull the trigger on these guys. Anything else toward this before we get away from it? Okay, fair enough. So any other dishes you guys would like to talk about before we get out of the kitchen? We are coming down on time at the closure of the show. Okay, well, I am going to say this. I am worried about the matchup tonight for the Oklahoma City Thunder. I have always said I want to watch how that practice used to go down with Reggie and Russell going back and forth, talking about steel sharpens steel. The Pistons play the Thunder. Reggie comes back to Oklahoma City. This should be one hell of a matchup tonight. Plugs and closeouts from the both of you as we shut down the roundtable, post-Thanksgiving Day style. I will go to you first, Tommy.
Good show, everybody. Can't wait to get back to home. State of Virginia. I'll be back in a couple of days. Sit here, go watch this TCU-Baylor game, if they can ever get it started. Once again, rest in peace, Sean. You're missed, my brother. You're missed.
That is true. I can't believe it. 8 years, it's almost 10 years since that guy got shot, man. In his own house, like, ridiculous, man. History,
well,
man.
Well,
the sad part is I remember where I was, what I was doing, and everything. That when I got the phone call that it happened, that he actually did pass.
Mm-hmm. Same. Okay, Chandler, I need a plug, close out from you. Anything that you'd like to promote before we shut it down here at the roundtable?
Well, Jim Caldwell better send a huge – he better send Jim Bob and his family on vacation for saving his job, because they're the reason he's going to be Lions coach next season. And you know what? Brian Cashman and Hal Steinbrenner, y'all deserve each other. Yankees will not win another championship as long as Hal Steinbrenner is in charge. Other than that, a lot of fun tonight, man, fellas, and thanks.
Look, he's already giving y'all baseball right now in November. Well, we're almost in December. That's Sports City, myself, and Chandler's month. So we are in November. He's giving y'all a little baseball touch. That's what we do in Sports City. We give y'all touches on everything. But like I said, I'm concerned about this game. This game is about to take place in the next 4 minutes. I got to get ready and watch this matchup go down. I just hope the refs stay out of the way, man. I don't want the refs to bother neither one of them. Let Reggie play his ball for Detroit, and I've been getting all types of inboxes and messages from people from Detroit that I'm cool with, especially the ones that listen to the show. They like, well, we're going to take care of your boy, Meat, this, that, and third. So they let me know. I'm getting it. They let me know. So hopefully my voice do work. This is going to be a very interesting matchup, though. I can't wait to see it go down. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the chefs. We'll be back here. Interesting enough, I have to talk to Slim Jim about what's going on tomorrow. He told me that he'll be in the kitchen even on vacation. Have not seen the guy. So I'm trying to make him get back here. If not, we'll be back here Sunday for the brunch for sure on the 29th. So stay tuned to all the Twitter pages. Facebook page that we got going on. We'll keep you updated on that situation, but for sure we'll be back here Sunday. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they, by the way, Chandler, I don't know if you know, Revis is out with a concussion. So this is big for your boys, man. This is big. I just got the word on that, too. So the Jets season is turning around also. Hopefully they get it done against the Dolphins. But like I said, Tell a friend, it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming. Our music keeps you moving, what are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for the tap. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard of us, the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of me, they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Cat lays in my way. Francis, M to the is H phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body abdominal. So I can buy a few cars, then I pick a few flows, so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my presence. Never tense, never hesitate. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, bad gun, ridiculous. And I'm quick to bust if my ends you touch. Kiss a girl you touch, in this world I clutch. Two auto, mattos. Call me Fatso, now you call me Castro. My rap flows militant, y'all faggots ain't killing shit. Oops, Chris Stout keeps spilling shit. You overdid it, Holmes. You in the danger zone, you shouldn't be alone. Hold hands and say it like me, the most shady. Frankie baby, fantastic, graphic. Trying to make dough like Jurassic. Parked in, pick the spark kids who start shit. See me, only me, the underboss of this holocaust. Truly yours, Frank White.
I got the real life shit from front to back. To my people in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real live shit from front.
down, split it up, get your laugh on. See you later, dog, I'ma get my stash on. There's a bag full of money that I get my ass on. I never lose the passion to go platinum. Said I live it up to.